Welcome back to Inhabit with Alessia Citro and friends, the show where we dive deep into anything and everything that will help you to inhabit your higher self. I'm your host, Alessia Citro. Today, we're talking about the incredible power of the mind, specifically how visualization, mental rehearsal, and identity-based habits can transform your life. Let's dive in. The impetus for this episode actually came from a book I picked back up after several years of attempting to read it. I first heard about the personal development classic called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz many years ago. And I tried reading it when I heard about it, and I just could not get into it. And the other day, I felt this nudge to pick it back up. So I did, and it is such a perfect complement to what I'm building in higher self habits. Let me give you the premise of the book really quick, and then we'll jump into the meat of it. So the author, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, was a plastic surgeon, and he ended up writing this book because he noticed something rather curious. He would perform facial plastic surgery on patients. And now this is a book that was written back in the 60s. So some of the verbiage is not exactly politically correct, but he says in that book that he would have a patient that had been ugly and he would make them beautiful. And many of these people, just by the sheer transformation of going from ugly to beautiful, their entire self-image changed and their lives changed as a result. But then he also noticed that there were some people who he helped go from, as he says, ugly to beautiful, who had nothing changed in their life because their self-image remained as if they were still ugly. So the point that he makes throughout this book is that we cannot change unless our self-image changes. And part of how we do that or can do that is by visualizing ourselves in a different identity by embodying that new version of us. Now we'll get into the meat of this. So you've probably seen athletes or public speakers or performers close their eyes before a big moment. Odds are good when they're doing that they could be visualizing. This is not just woo-woo stuff. It's backed by science like anything that I share here. Basically, when you visualize, you are not daydreaming. What you're doing is engaging your brain in a way that can lead to real world changes. The more detailed and sensory rich that visualization, the better. Let me give you an example from a study conducted on visualization as it relates to accuracy in shooting free throws in basketball. And this is directly from the Psycho-Cybernetics book. This experiment had three groups. There was one that practiced shooting free throws for 20 minutes every day. They had one group that did not practice at all. And then they had a third group that didn't practice except for mentally. They spent 20 minutes a day imagining that they were shooting free throws, throwing the ball into the hoop. And when they missed, they would imagine that they corrected their aim accordingly. This is where it gets interesting. The first group that practiced 20 minutes every day in real life, they improved scoring by 24%. The second group, which did not practice at all, had no improvement. And the third group, which practiced only in their imagination via visualization, improved scoring 23%. So there was a 1% delta between the group that actually practiced and the ones who only imagined it. Visualization for whatever it is that you are wanting to improve on, this is powerful stuff. And part of why that is because your brain can't tell the difference between vivid imagination and actual experiences in reality. So when you visualize, you are essentially programming your brain for success, and you are creating a quantum blueprint from which you can pull from. So let's geek out on the neuroscience behind this. There are six components of neuroscience that really play into this. So the first is mirror neurons. These are brain cells that fire up either when you do an action or when you simply observe it, even if that means in your mind you observe it. This is like your brain's space to rehearse. The second is neural pathways. Visualization activates the same neural circuits as would doing the real thing. Whether you did it for real or you just imagined it, the same circuitry comes online. This strengthens those circuits, which is known as neuroplasticity. The third is sensory simulation. The more senses you engage in your visualization, like sound, touch, smell, the more real it becomes to your brain. I want to double underline this. When you are visualizing, imagine what you hear in the space. Let's use the example of speaking on a stage. Do you hear applause? Do you hear cheering? Can you hear a pin drop because it's so impactful? Imagine all of that. As for touch, imagine the tactile sensations of the clothes that you're wearing or the chair that you're sitting in or the dog that you're petting, whatever it might be. And then smell. What perfume are you wearing? What does the space you're in smell like? All of this makes it super, super realistic. And again, your brain cannot tell whether this has actually happened or not. The fourth, this is super important, is emotional engagement. Don't just see this experience, feel it. Engaging your emotions makes visualization even more potent. And quick sidebar here, I'm going to be 38 years old in December. And if you are around my age, I am willing to bet you remember vividly where you were when you found out that 9/11 had happened. I can clear as day, and it's been over 22 years. Why is that? These are called flashbulb memories. And basically what happens is when you have a very strong emotion in reaction to an experience, your amygdala is like, ooh, this is important. It taps the hippocampus, which is like your brain's filing cabinet. And it's like, hey, we better remember this. This is important. It's the same reason why you probably remember the birth of a child or your wedding day or some other really significant event, because the emotion was so strong that your brain essentially bookmarked it. The fifth piece of neuroscience that really helps us in this regard is the reticular activating system, or your RAS. This is your brain's filter, and it helps you focus on what it thinks you want it to. Whatever you are putting focus on and deeming important, your brain is going to filter out the noise to show you more of that. It's a lot like the Instagram algorithm, right? Or the TikTok algorithm. Whatever you engage with and pay attention to, it's going to show you more and more and more of that. You can use this as it pertains to stepping into a higher self by asking your brain, show me evidence that I am capable of being this person. Or get more specific than that. And what your brain will do, it will start to show you affirming evidence of whatever you tell it to. If you've ever heard the saying, what you focus on expands, this is the part of your brain that is behind that phenomenon. Be very selective and intentional about what you put importance on. This is also the same function as, like, let's say that you want to get a new car and you're thinking about a particular make and model, you're going to start to see it everywhere because your brain is literally filtering it for you. Sixth and finally is cognitive rehearsal. This is a mental walkthrough step by step that prepares you for the real experience. And what happens when you use this, this is a technique, by the way, that surgeons use and that pilots use as a dry run, quote unquote. When you use cognitive rehearsal, you are creating neuroplasticity, which we talked about a moment ago. Doing this repeatedly can actually change your brain structure. So if you want to step into a version of you, a new identity, the more that you visualize being that person, you will actually rewire your brain to be the brain of the person that you're trying to be. Isn't that cool? When you are doing mental rehearsal, make it as real as possible. Include potential challenges, include potential solutions. I'm sure that every single person listening to this before they have had a really difficult conversation has had some type of rehearsal involved to prepare them for that. This is the same type of phenomenon. Lastly, let's talk about how you can upgrade your identity through identity-based habits. James Clear talks about this in Atomic Habits too. Let's use the example of wanting to lose weight. Instead of focusing on the outcome, what if instead you focused on the type of behaviors that a fit person would have? Thinking about what a person who embodies this thing that you are trying to achieve does behavior-wise, as well as, and this is really important, the energy that they are in while they do it, that is what moves the needle. Becoming the type of person that can achieve whatever your desired outcome is, because once you internalize that identity, the habits and the details sort themselves out. They follow naturally. On this note of identity-based habits, cognitive dissonance might arise. What that means is when your actions and your self-image do not match up, it is incredibly uncomfortable for you. Incredibly. In this case, when your actions and your identity don't align and you feel uncomfortable, well, how can we use this as a way to pour gasoline on the fire of change? If I have upgraded my identity to now be this version of me that I know God created me to be, but I'm still acting like a version of me that I'm not particularly proud of, let's say, that's going to make me bummed out. And I'm going to pause and look at it and understand how I can change moving forward. Just a quick aside, I appreciate you all hanging in there with me as I'm this one-man band. I'm trying a new mic today, so hopefully the audio is good. And also, shoot me a DM on Instagram if this is vibing with you or it was helpful. I would love to hear about it. You can either share this to your stories or just send me a note. Either way, I really appreciate it. And I hope you are enjoying coming along for the journey as I do this very imperfectly, because done is far better than perfect. I'll see you all next week.